You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning and welcome to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your co-host this morning. I'm the Director for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And with me this morning is my co-host, Jen Delvaux. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Beth.
Jen is our Coordinator for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. So this morning, we really want to talk about this amazing happening that happened here in the Archdiocese on October 1st and October 2nd, called our Renew My Church Summit. So we just really want to dedicate today's show to having a few conversations with some local folks about that summit, which was so pivotal in the life of our community. So, Jen, we went to... where did we go? Halifax.
Yes.
It is early in the morning. And I've only had one cup of coffee. So we went to Halifax, Nova Scotia. And do you want to tell our listeners just a little bit about Divine Renovation?
Sure. Divine Renovation started initially with the work that Father James Mallon did in his parish up there in Nova Scotia, which might be one of my new favorite things to say, especially when he says it with his Scottish
Nova Scotia
and Canadian accent combined. But he realized that after merging three parishes together into one, that he had to change how he was doing ministry and how the church was fulfilling its mission in the world, because otherwise it was only going to be a matter of time before it changed. So he very effectively figured out some questions to ask and some solutions to those questions. And so people started asking him, how did you do that? How did you bring about this revitalization of your parish? He was giving so much time to having to do that that he decided, okay, I'll just write this book and then I won't have to answer any more questions. So he wrote the book Divine Renovation, which I know quite a few people are reading. And then he said, okay, I'm done, but wait. No, still more questions from people who read the book. So he started this Divine Renovation Conference, which was a way for us to come together and hear what they're doing to establish a culture of evangelization, to look at those questions that we need to ask about how are people able to engage in our parish communities? How are we welcoming people? Are we as welcoming as we think we are? And, you know, really give ourselves pause to ask tough questions of ourselves and not assume the answers that we think we know.
So we have to join us in our conversation for the first half this morning is Kathy McNicholas. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Beth. How are you? Good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
So Kathy is a Pastoral Associate Director of Religious Education at Incarnation Parish in Palos Heights, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And you've been there for quite a while, haven't you?
15th year.
Wow, that's amazing. Jen and I were talking about how rare that is in ministry today to be able to be somewhere for that long.
It is amazing, but it's been a gift for me because it allows me to develop some really long-term relationships with staff and parishioners.
That's why it's such a gift. You can really get a lot done. So one of the reasons I wanted to invite Kathy to come speak with us is Kathy's on our Evangelization Steering Committee. But Kathy also went to Divine Renovation Conference in 2016.
I did. I was also in Nova Scotia.
So So that was the very first conference. So tell us what drove you to go there.
Actually, what happened is I'm always reading things that are going on in the church, the active things, places where vitality are, and I came across the book, Divine Renovation. And I read it, and I will be honest, this sounds terrible, but at one moment, it brought a tear to my eye. There was such truth and beauty in what he was saying and connected with what I was experiencing. I immediately went online. I found their website. They had a conference. My heart said, you have to go. And I signed up and went.
That's amazing. It's really before, I think it was written 6 or 8 years ago at this mm-hmm. point, right? So tell us a little bit about what your experience was like and what you took from that back to your own parish.
I think the first thing that struck me when I got there was the incredible hospitality and excitement of the parishioners there. They knew we were coming. They knew that they had a spark that they wanted to share that with us. And from the moment you got there, there was just this energy and spirit of we're excited about what's going on here, and we want to share that with you. So they had incredible mass experiences, wonderful keynotes, but you had the sense you were with a group of people who were feeling this new spirit, this excitement and vitality of church, and it was just an amazing experience to be a part of that.
So we had about 10 or 12 of us went up to the Divine Renovation Conference in Nova Scotia this past spring, and in preparation for our summit. So let's just transition a little bit to the summit last week, or 2 weeks ago. What was your impression of the hospitality there?
He talked about this. It was wonderful. From the moment I parked in the garage, and of course you're at the convention center, and it's overwhelming. You were met with little signs on the ground saying, welcome, you know, you're at the summit. And as soon as I came into the building, people were smiling and saying, we're glad. It felt very Nova Scotia. We're so happy that you're here. Can we help you? Here's where you need to go. At every turn, there was someone there with that kind of radical hospitality saying, we're glad you're here, and we're here to help you, and you're a part of something really wonderful is going to happen.
So it was interesting because I've told this story, is that day one, I tend to smile a lot. It's just my normal disposition when I'm shopping and things like that, and I almost always get met with a smile back. And the first morning, I was smiling, and I got met with a lot of scowls. And I do think there was a real skepticism about whether or not this was real or not. And it seemed pretty foreign, probably Nova Scotia-ish. But then as the day progressed and over the course of the 2 days, that completely changed. There was just this really positive spirit mm-hmm. emanating from everyone. What really struck you about the 2 days, Kathy?
I think in addition to the amazing ability for all of us to be together in one space and hear that powerful message of divine renovation as a group, I think the other piece of it was that the spirit was flowing so strongly mm-hmm. in the conversation. There was a lot of truth about, yes, there are challenges, and Father Mallon and talked about how at Nova Scotia they had challenges, they had failures, but the spirit was driving them to need to do something differently, to not manage change, but actually to recognize the movement of the spirit that was revitalizing, calling us all to this mission of evangelization.
And how would you define evangelization in this context?
I think we've talked about this, and I think my understanding of evangelization is the sense that each one of us has been gifted with this beautiful relationship with Jesus, needs to share that, needs to go out, needs to be on mission. And so in the life of the parish, we need to create an environment that invites people to grow in that relationship and then feel compelled by that love to go out with that message and draw others in.
So, Jen, when we talk about an evangelizing culture, do you think you could describe for our listeners what we're talking about when we describe that kind of culture in a parish?
Sure. I think, you know, when so many people think of evangelization, they think of, you know, the people on the street corners shouting at things. But whenever we talk about evangelization, it's always based on relationship. And I think that's really the foundation for an evangelizing culture, places and spaces to establish relationships with one another, especially when we invite strangers in, and also to then have the opportunity to invite people to encounter Jesus and establish that relationship. So that means that we have to think about those soft entry points, was a phrase that we heard at the summit. And where can we invite someone to become enter into that relationship with the parish community when they don't necessarily know how to speak the Catholic language or do the Catholic things yet?
Or they've been away from the church and they feel guilty.
Right.
About having been away for a while.
Yeah.
And that makes it even hard, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So Mass is a hard place to start for folks.
It is. And we often forget that. But the minute you even go to Mass at another parish in a community that's very different from yours, that might have different music or different movements at certain points in the liturgy, all of a sudden you can see what it's like to be the odd one out. I've been very lucky to travel quite a bit. And, you know, nothing makes you feel more different than when you can't worship, even though it's something that you do frequently, you know. So that's always something I like to keep in mind, too, of how approachable. Do we assume people are Catholic and parishioners at our Masses, or do we think and ask questions about how can the visitor, how can the non-Catholic enter into this liturgy, too?
I think one of the things that we try to point out a lot to folks is that our Mass is a ritual, and it's for the initiated. And it's a very ritualistic experience that's beautiful and amazing. But if you're not one of the initiated and you can't fully participate in the life, it's hard. And but our Protestant brothers and sisters, a lot of times what they have is praise and worship. And Kathy, that's kind of what we were experiencing at the summit, right? Some praise and worship kind of experiences, not the ritual of liturgy. We had liturgy. We had Mass on Monday and Tuesday evening at the end, or afternoon. But during the day, we had more of a worship experience. Do you want to explain that to our listeners?
Sure. And I think what's interesting is that when you said when people came in, they had maybe some grumpy faces and then the spirit changed. I think we ourselves in this new evangelization have an opportunity to also experience these shallow entry points where the spirit is set free. And one of those is praise, is worship. It can seem a little bit different for us. It's not our typical worship style,
right?
But it opens up and frees the flow of the spirit. And when you do the praise and worship, maybe put your hand up a little bit. Maybe you let a little bit of spirit flow, or you let loose a little bit. There is a feeling that I'm invited to something that's a little bit different, but it feels wonderful, and the smiles start to come out, and the spirit is a little bit more energized.
Father Ken Simpson, who is our vicar for priests, he was the celebrant of the opening prayer service. And we were talking afterwards, and he said his experience was he's been to so many archdiocesan gatherings, and there were about 2,500 people in that room, all leaders from the archdiocese, priests, deacons, religious, all kinds of lay leaders, volunteer leaders, all kinds of folks. And he said of all the gatherings he's ever been at, he has never experienced people singing the way they were, the way they were responding. And it was just a joy, he said, a joy to preside at something that spirit-filled. And that was kind of fun to hear his perspective coming from, you know, up at the altar area, or up at the stage area, I guess, for the prayer service. So we're going to come back after our break, and we will continue our conversation with Kathy McNichols from Incarnation Parish in Palo Heights.
On a mission of love, I send you out.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
More than 2,000 people share the message of evangelization at the Renew My Church Summit. We update you with the latest developments from the Synod on Youth in Rome. 7 archdiocesan schools receive blue ribbon awards from the U.S. Department of Education, and you'll love our photos of pets who showed up for their annual blessing.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
You don't know me. I was a nobody struggling on the Chicago streets, stopping in occasionally to get a meal at Catholic Charities. Now I'm an addiction counselor at Catholic Charities. They changed my life. I know the power of having someone believe in you. I'm grateful to be a part of Chicago's Good Samaritan offering hope for over 100 years. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, where more than 2,000 Catholics shared the message of evangelization. And we'll visit with two priests who are playing key roles in the ongoing Renew My Church process.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your co-host with Jen DelVoe.
Hello.
We're speaking with Kathy McNicholas from Pastoral Associate and Director of Religious Education at Incarnation Parish in Palos Heights. And we're talking about the Renew My Church Summit that happened on October 1st and 2nd here in the Archdiocese, an unprecedented gathering of all of the leadership, all the bishops, all of the pastors, priests, deacons, and a lay leadership were gathered together at the Stevenson Convention Center for 2 days to really focus in on what we're looking for with renewal. So much of the Renew My Church has been focused on the initial phases, which are the restructuring of our parishes and our resources for the purpose of bringing around about vitality, which was the purpose of the 2 days, was really to look at that final piece of what do we mean by building our new reality? Where are we going? What are we doing in this renewal? What does renewal look like? And so that was really the purpose of the 2 days. So, Kathy, what kinds of things have you brought about, you and your pastor and your team there in your own parish, that's focused on this renewal?
Well, it's interesting that you should say your team, because that in and of itself has been a great awareness for us that we can't do this just as ourselves, just even the
exactly.
pastor and the staff, but we need a larger team of people to be involved and to claim leadership and to own their giftedness. So this past weekend was our stewardship weekend, and in a lot of parishes, the pastor gives a financial report, and then there's an appeal to help with ministries. We need ushers. We need this. This year, we shifted it, and we co-presented. The pastor presented the budget information, and then I stood up and called the baptized mission. I reminded them of who we are and that we are all gifted in Christ, that we died with him and rose with him, and this charism, giftedness that we have, the world needs it, Jesus needs it, and so they were invited to actually do a spiritual gift discernment during the time of the homily, and then to take it home and reflect on what God was calling them to do in mission, which was radically different for us.
That's wonderful. That's part of the one of the things that just for our listeners to understand, one of the key factors of Divine Renovation, if you haven't read it, is really the leadership. And that's why we're partnering with them, is to work with our parishes post going through the restructuring piece so that their pastoral leadership gets some coaching to be able to become. This is not a program. It's actually just coaching, or not just, but it is coaching to help parishes, their pastor and their teams have shared leadership, so that they there's an empowerment and putting a team around a pastor, as so that it isn't just all on the shoulders of the pastor, but it's actually a shared model of like what you did this weekend. So how did people respond to that, sort of asking them to reflect on their spiritual gifts?
Well, they applauded.
Wow.
I took that as a positive.
I would.
People came up afterwards and said, you know, thank you. It wasn't necessarily that there was a layperson up there as part of the team, but I think they felt maybe for the first time and reflected on who am I in mission with Jesus, and how is he asking me, inviting me to help him in this mission to go and make disciples. I think they were really touched by it, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback, and people want to come and talk. Then I think this might be my gift. How can you help me to live that out there? I feel like God is calling. Someone said, I like to bake. Maybe I should be baking for the homeless.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been there quite a while, so you've seen this. Is this radically new for you guys?
Yes. Absolutely, in the level of shared leadership, but also in the appeal to each and every individual to feel empowered, to know that they're gifted in Christ, and to find that purpose and to live that purpose. That's really not a message we have brought to the front in the past. I've always had that understanding. It's my own call understanding, but we've never really done it on a scale of inviting everyone to please consider what their baptismal call is about.
So this is different than saying we need two ushers, three Eucharistic ministers, and we need people to help with a fundraiser this summer. This is a really different sort of way of looking at that, isn't it?
Yeah, and to me it starts from strength. It's the strength of Christ. The gifts are everywhere. When you talk about weaknesses, we need this, we're short, and this, that to me has a negative understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit. We have what we need. Look inwards and see what you have. It's almost like the miracle of loaves and fishes. Bring out what you have. There will be more than enough.
It's interesting. I used to work in fundraising in a previous life. And sometimes people do that. They're like, we're desperate. We need your help. We need money. But it's very rare that anyone wants to give to the sinking Titanic. They actually want to give to something that's going to be successful. And so if you empower people and you say, you know, your gifts are needed because we're going to do this amazing thing together, it all sort of, like you said, loaves and fishes. It's a very different way of looking at church.
And I think that was my favorite part of the summit was that, what if we get this right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, what else did you really get out of the summit? Or your team, your people.
My experience of being there, but I do. I think that sense of we are on the verge of something that is radically different, radically necessary, and can be radically successful and transforming, not just in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but on a much broader scale. And so that there was such a sense of on the verge of a transformative potential for something incredible for Christ.
What would you say to folks who are struggling a little bit with they felt that it was Protestant? We got a little bit of feedback about that because probably mostly because of the praise and worship music and some of this whole sense of using your gifts. What would you say to someone who said that to you?
Someone once told me when I was in my studies that at the time of the Protestant Reformation, the Catholic Church kept Peter and the Protestants took Paul. And I think it's time Peter and Paul work together.
Yeah.
We need to get Paul back into the Catholic Church.
That is a great way to look at it. So did you, you came with some folks. What were some of their takeaways? I mean, you've been steeped in this. You went to the Divine Renovation Summit a few years ago. I mean, to the up to Halifax. So was there anyone on your group that these were new eyes for them?
Most of them, actually. And it was interesting. We had a fairly large group.
I saw
that there were supposed to be three or four. There were actually nine of us.
Wow.
From our parish.
Well done. My pastor
really wanted everyone to be there. And I could sense that there was a newness about it, that they were open to it and listening, and some embraced. And some are a little bit more hesitant about, I'm not exactly sure how this plays out. But I love the fact that we were all there together. Because the journey requires us to a journey as this team of disciples. So the fact that we were all hearing it together, we talked at lunch about what our different experiences were like. We just talked about it again at our staff meeting. So I think the power of having us there together and accompanying each other on this journey was really wonderful.
And that was the purpose of it. The purpose was to get as many people in the Archdiocese in leadership roles in that room together so that we were all experiencing something. So that whether we took away hesitant, Jen can testify that we went over to London in January to the founding place of Alpha. I had been researching Alpha, found Alpha, all this kind of stuff, and really wanted to understand what this thing was. So we went over to where it all began over in England. And Jen's laughing because she recognizes that we were there with one of the priests on our team, Father Peter. And they were praying over people, and I would not move. They were like, come on up. I'm like, nope. And then I was not swaying to the music or anything. And what's interesting is that was January, and now I'm very comfortable having someone pray over me and very comfortable moving to the music. And so I really do think that we just have to give people time. Like, I hadn't been exposed to it. Jen had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks to particularly youth ministry, because I think there's a lot of that style of music and energy and interactive prayer, you know, where it's you're asking, we always called it popcorn prayer kind of in youth group. And so there's pockets of this in the Catholic Church, but often they're pushed to the side so we don't see it, or that's for the kids, it's not for the grown-ups prayer. So it was interesting to see what that does look like when it's a more diverse adult population, and it was fun watching everybody's reactions.
And what's interesting about that is because our young people have, if they're active in the church, experienced praise and worship and that kind of prayer where it's just, you know, intentional prayer on the spot, that when they come into our parishes, it's a very different experience for them. And that, you know, part of that is us helping to learn to, you know, sort of build those bridges.
One of the things that they taught us when we were kids is that the beauty of being Catholic is it's a holistic approach to life.
Right.
It's bells and whistles and smells, and our whole bodies are engaged. And a lot of our liturgy, I think, has fallen away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about praise and worship is it brings up that Catholic experience of a whole body experience of worship. The music flows through you, it comes through you, and it brings your whole experience into it, which is very Catholic.
Well, and the first night at the first Mass, Father Mellon kind of, I think, surprised the Cardinal and asked him to go along with him for a moment. And he had the Cardinal get in the middle of the room and then had, I think, seven people laid hands on him. And then we all laid hands on each other. And we were all connected around our Cardinal in this unity moment. And then he prayed over him. He actually kneeled, I was told. We couldn't see him from where we were standing, but we were all sort of gathered together, all connected. And people have given witness to the fact they could feel the Spirit moving through them. And we were talking afterward. You know, people could say that sounds Protestant, but that is as Catholic as it gets, laying hands on people. That whole sense of being connected, every one of our sacraments has in the ritual touch. And it's interesting that we were all in that room connected around our Cardinal. Were you there, Kathy, for that part?
I was not, but I can feel the beauty of that right now.
Oh, my
eyes are closed, and I can feel it now.
Yeah, it was astounding, and we're all still talking about that sense of unity and the beauty of that moment. Well, thank you so much, Kathy, for taking this morning to talk to us. Up next, we have two of our Parish Vitality Coordinators who are going to share with us what their job is in this mission of renewal in our church.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to catholiccharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
As we enter our second century of providing help and hope to anyone in need, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to 1 million people each year. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Welcome back to A Mission of Love. This is Beth White, your co-host this morning from the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And with me is Jen DelVaux, our coordinator for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship. I think we just had a little phone malfunction there. Anyway, so we are talking this morning about the Renew My Church Summit that took place on October 1st and 2nd here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And up next, we have two of our Parish Vitality Coordinators. They are the folks who work in our parishes, and I'll let them talk a little bit more about what they do. So we have Ann Krizan, who's Vicariate 2, and we have Nicholas Carlson, who's Vicariate 5. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. So I just wanted to bring the two of you on, and we can talk a little bit about the summit. But Anne, why don't you explain to our listeners what a Parish Vitality Coordinator is?
The Parish Vitality Coordinator is the point person for the Vicariate to carry through the Renew My Church initiative. also in Vicariate 2 since I just began the role in July 1st. I was lifelong formation coordinator for 2 years. I've accompanied the different parishes and the parish groupings going through Renew My Church. We have initiated or activated 3 groupings and about to launch into a 4th one. So we really accompany and provide resources and support for the parishes and the parish team.
So, Nick, you've been a Parish Vitality Coordinator for a couple years now, I believe.
That's
so,
right, yeah.
What is a grouping for our listeners?
Okay, well, how much time do we have? Right?
Briefly,
so
what's
church,
a grouping?
Kind of, there are so many pieces to this whole program or process of renewal that the Cardinal really wanted to try to get feedback from people in the parishes, people in the pews, about what their faith life is actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he could very easily have gone in and said, as has happened in some dioceses, you know, you two parishes, this is what's going to happen to you. But what he preferred to do was say, okay, I want to hear what's really the situation. So he organized the parishes in what we've called a series of groupings. So pretty much a geographical arrangement where 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 in some cases more parishes that are geographically close can come together and discuss kind of what their common strengths are, what the weaknesses are, and so forth, so as to have a better way to give feedback towards a future vision for the church in that given area, with a view towards helping that community and, of course, growing the church as much as possible in that area.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the point, right, is the whole looking at our geography. I think one of the interesting things that came out of the summit for me, one of the moments, was when Father Mallon, I mean, I had heard a lot. I've read his book, and I had gone up to Halifax, but there was a statement he made when he said, if your parish closes and the only people that it matters to are the people attending Mass, did your parish really, was it really that important to your community? And it was like, whoa, that was a pretty powerful statement. And I think that's what the Cardinal's challenging us in this renewal through these groupings.
It's not a statement against those people that are going to Mass.
No, not at all.
We want to make sure that we take care of those people first,
exactly.
For sure. But you know, if the community doesn't recognize, if the community doesn't even notice, you know, that we've come and gone, then you know, it's time to maybe ask ourselves what we're doing.
Right, because many of our parishes have such an impact in their communities. They serve the larger community in such profound ways that not having that parish there is going to be hard for them.
Mm.
And so we do know that, and we hear that from people in the communities. So, you know, Anne, just tell me a little bit about what the summit was like for you.
Well, luckily I was able to go to Halifax.
Yes, you were.
So I had a preconceived idea of what to expect, but it was a gift that I received in June when I was in Halifax, and I was so excited to share that gift with people, my colleagues, people that I've worked with throughout the years being in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And I was like a little kid waiting for people to open up this amazing present. And so I was really eager to get it started, but then I had to really stand in the back and just take in the magnitude of the numbers of people in the auditorium, all praising their love for Christ, all being together, all boundaries tossed aside, all differences tossed aside, that we were in this one particular place celebrating our love for the church. It just blew me away that even though there are people who, you know, maybe like more traditional music or maybe like more, you know, conservative tones to their liturgies, everybody bought it. Everybody was all in to the experience of, you know, just buckle up and be ready for the ride of your life with the Holy Spirit. So that was a gift to me because I think that we as church can be more polarized or really, you know, in our own little private silos or private parishes, and really don't even realize what's going on sometimes at a different mass time, because you're so used to going to that one particular time mass that you don't realize that there might be even a different style of liturgy, of music, or of, you know, if it's a family mass or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really was, we're all in this together feeling, and I was thoroughly blessed by being there. It was a gift back to me. So I was just in awe, and really in awe, and feeling honored to be a part of it.
So, Nick, you did not go to Halifax. So
That's
what
right.
was the experience like for you?
Yeah, it's funny. Just listening to Anne, I mean, she encapsulated, of course, a lot of what I experienced. And I also kind of felt, I mean, just to use an image here, it should be familiar, hopefully, to some of us, hopefully all of us. It kind of felt like going to heaven in a certain way because what was neat about that was just seeing all of these people that you know and that you've worked with and that you have great esteem for, and they just, everyone kept coming. And then the other side of that was, you know, the staff was so kind and welcoming. It felt like, you know, okay, it's good. It's great to be here. I'm glad I'm here. And, of course, everything was centered on that worship of our Lord, which was really profound and moving. So I felt that for sure. I mean, I've had experiences at different levels here in the diocese between seminary life and between, you know, doing internships and then working here as I have been for the Department of Parish Vitality for a couple of years. You get to meet so many great people, mm-hmm. and so it was neat to have that sort of family reunion in that sense. There was so much, obviously, in terms of opinions and differences and so forth, but what was really amazing to me is that all of those people are they're making that act of faith and saying, okay, let's give this a try. Let's see, you know, what we can do, because we don't want to we want to leave this in a much better condition, you know, for those who are coming after us.
Well, and we do have a very diverse archdiocese, and so there is a divergence of opinions and thoughts and all of that. But what was wonderful was that we had a rough summer as Catholics. We've had a rough fall as Catholics, and what was really sort of amazing was this sense of literally renewal of people for 2 days. People have walked away saying that kind of felt like a retreat experience. That mm-hmm. I overheard some folks going, "Where's the tables?" Because everybody was theater style. It was very much focused on sort of an experience versus learning. And that was a very different style of a gathering than I think people are used to. Anne, would you mind sharing with listeners the story that I made you share with Father Mallon about when he looked a little bit like, oh, wow, about your experience of going to Halifax?
Well, my experience of going to Halifax, you know, I've been working for the Archdiocese and the Catholic Church my entire life, and so I've been to multiple conferences and gatherings, you know, and like Kathy McNichols, I read numerous books on different initiatives that we can do to fix our parish or make it better or make it more vital. So when I decided to go to Halifax, in my negative, my negative mind, I said...
Because Anne can critique. Anne can critique and be a critical thinker. Yes, go ahead.
This isn't going to be. Prove it, Jesus. Prove it that this is going to be something different. And so welcoming was blown away. You know, we had the signs and we knew what door to use, which is not always the case when I go to different parishes. I don't know where to enter, but this was clearly like we were in a different place. I live out in the northwest suburbs, and so there's a big mega church out there that had those kinds of signs and welcoming and security vest. And okay, so that's where I was going in that direction. So then during the mass, or the conference talk, Father Mallon was sharing a little bit, and I was listening to him still with that negative, you know, scowl face, maybe.
You know what, Anne? I'm going to have to interrupt you for a moment, and we're going to have to go to break. Hold that thought and come back, and we'll continue our story from Anne about her experience in Halifax.
Hey.
I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
More than 2,000 people share the message of evangelization at the Renew My Church Summit. We update you with the latest developments from the Synod on Youth in Rome. 7 archdiocesan schools receive blue ribbon awards from the U.S. Department of Education, and you'll love our photos of pets who showed up for their annual blessing.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
What does the gift of hope look like? It's an abandoned young woman with 2 young children searching for help. I'm Maggie at Catholic Charities Housing Services. As we worked with her, she blossomed before our eyes. She wrote a book, married, and often returned to say hello. You see, we believed in her, and she trusted us because, for us, this isn't just a job. It's a calling to be Chicago's Good Samaritan. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, where more than 2,000 Catholics shared the message of evangelization. And we'll visit with 2 priests who are playing key roles in the ongoing Renew My Church process.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
To become people of spirit, time for us. Welcome back to A Mission of Love. I'm Beth White, your co-host with Jen Delvaux. On the line with us right now are Nick Carlson and Ann Krizan. They're both Parish Vitality Coordinators for the Department of Parish Vitality and Mission. Ann was in the middle of a story talking to us about her going up to Halifax, Nova Scotia, to the Divine Renovation Conference this past spring, and her sort of walking into that experience. So go ahead.
So when I was in the conference, I was sitting and I was saying, you know, having this conversation with Jesus, and I'm like, you know what, prove something to me that this is different than just a book that I've read and I can put now on the shelf, or a book that I've read that I can give to people to fix, air quotes, their parish. So Father Malin said that Pope Francis recently said that we all are really good at having Jesus within us, and we're really good at having Jesus celebrate with us when we go to Mass or different opportunities, but Jesus is begging us to get out,
out
into the communities. And when he said that, it dawned on me that he is right where I'm at, that I do a great job of keeping Jesus to myself. And not really even inviting the Lord to maybe have a journey with other people. And of course, you know, I believe Jesus is very much with these people, but if I could somehow open the avenues up a little bit to talk to people about their faith, about their hope, about their relationship with Christ, then maybe we can start making this church a little bit less constricted and more invitational. So when I left there, I realized that I had to do some serious changing in the way that I celebrate my faith. And to share that celebration with people, beginning in my own family. We all know somebody in our own families that no longer go to Mass, no longer celebrate. We all know people in our neighborhood. We all know people in our, you know, different communities that we socialize in. So beginning in those arenas, those circles, and then branching out into maybe less invitational places, and not be afraid. For me, not being afraid to say I am in love with the Catholic Church, despite all the warts, all the issues that we may have, the Catholic Church to me is my rock and my salvation. Mm-hmm. It's that Eucharist that I receive. And why am I keeping that to myself?
Right.
I don't know. You know, and so I keep having those conversations. And, you know, I've been on this amazing journey in my whole life, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. And so I have a lot to share. And that really was an eye-opening.
Anne has shared with us. She has a Protestant friend who she scares.
The best compliment she gave me was, "Anne, you're becoming very evangelical." I'm like, praise God.
And her family's all like, "Stop talking to everybody at Mass, Anne."
So, well, I'm also an extreme extrovert. So.
That helps, yeah.
So Nick, this was a great experience that we were all on the mountaintop together. So when we talk about evangelization, we talk about those experiences, you know, encountering Jesus Christ, and that is not enough. It's wonderful and beautiful, but those mountaintop experiences can we use the parable of the sower, you know, you can have that wonderful experience, but if it isn't rooted in anything, if it isn't fed and nurtured, it'll just burn up and just kind of fade. So we have some next steps planned. So you're up first, right? So what do we have planned?
That's right. So we have, in Vicariate 5, we thought that it would be opportune to have a sort of follow-up event. You know, people left the summit with a great zeal and desire to do something, and so obviously the more intentional and deliberate sort of discernment period of Renew My Church is particular to certain parishes at a given time. So how can we kind of capacitate and enable people right now that are ready to move on that kind of gospel mandate in their own parishes, as they already are in a large part, but to continue to invigorate that. So.
Mm-hmm.
We thought of having a sort of what we call it evangelization day, Vicariate 5 evangelization day. We've got two sessions, an afternoon session and an evening session. It'll be next Thursday, the 25th, at St. Linus in Oaklawn. And the whole thought there is to kind of go into a deeper dive into kind of what are we doing with Renew My Church in terms of the overhaul of you know, the intentionality of our ministry. Being evangelization as a starting point for so much of what we do, and so what is the roots of that in our Catholic faith, and then what are the things that we need to do? And I think it's kind of a trick question. We've had interesting conversations about this, Beth. In the diocese, it's easy to be used to the people downtown saying, "Here's what we're going to do," and I think we get into a way of thinking that we just do things, we do programs, we do evangelization, and so forth. And it's hard to kind of shift the mindset, because what's needed is not so much kind of doing evangelization as being evangelizers. So it's sort of that difference between doing church on Sunday and being church, you know, for the whole week. It's similar to that.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us to
break
through
that. So say
that
again, not doing church, but being
church.
Right.
So we all know people that go to church, and we're guilty of this too. We go to church on Sunday, and we think we're set for the week.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the, 161 hours that are left in the week. Somebody can do the math for us. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's impressive.
The rest of the week, you know, we're kind of off the hook for doing anything else. But what's really going on is Jesus Christ calling every one of us to that constant, you know, path of following Him. Not just following Him towards the cross, but also following Him, you know, in His mission and going with Him and preaching in that sense.
And bringing Him into the world, bringing Him with us into the world.
So it starts with that kind of mentality internally, you know, that believes and knows mm-hmm. yourself as loved by Christ personally. And when you have that so intimately there's nothing you wouldn't do to give that to somebody else. And
right.
So it's not really a do anymore. It's a being, right. His witness. So that's the hope for the evangelization day. And we're going first because we had it in the calendar before the summit. But thankfully, we have also offerings in all of the other vicariates as well in days to come after that.
So. And yours is on
November 10th.
November.
And it's at All Saints Shrine, which is next to St. Martha's in Morton Grove. And our desire is that we begin the day in the company of all the saints.
Oh, wow.
It's an amazing
Wonderful.
Location. It has over 3,500 relics.
Wow.
From all the different saints, including a relic from Oscar Romero that was just canonized last Sunday, and St. Paul VI.
Wow.
So it's our way of beginning knowing that we need help.
Yes.
We can't just do this on our own.
Please.
This isn't our church. It's, you know, the Lord's church.
Right.
So.
Well, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, right?
Right, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's an amazing place. It's an amazing place. So,
Jen, for those who want to find out where these Vicariate Days that will be happening between now and January, mm-hmm. and then we also have Alpha was talked a lot about at the conference, and so we're having some what's called Taste of Alphas, which are 90-minute sessions. Where can they get this information?
We have everything studied on our website, so people can just go to www.evangelizechicago.org, and you'll see all the details for every single one of these Vicariate Days, and there's three that are happening in November and then three that are happening in January. You don't have to go to the one that's specific to your Vicariate. You
right.
can go to absolutely any of these. So if a day doesn't work, you're more than welcome to join one of the other sessions. And so you can just head to www.evangelizechicago.org.
And there's an events page, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a tab right up on the left-hand side that will say RMC Summit follow-up, and that's where you can click to find everything, including those Taste of Alphas. And the first one of those is actually this Saturday up at Saints Faith, Hope, and Charity. So if you're a Saturday morning person, you're more than welcome to register and join us for that. So just head to the website, and you'll see all the details, and you can register for what works best for you.
And that's your Vicariate, too, right, Anne?
Correct.
That's great. So both of you are up first. So so we just really encourage folks to learn more. And if you haven't read Divine Renovation, to take a look at it. And there is a resource guide as well that, you know, you can do small faith group conversations around some of the questions. That was designed for our diocese. So we have some Renew My Church questions in there. And we just ask everyone who's listening just to pray for this process. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the cloud of witnesses that will help renew our local church. And we really hope that we're all in this together. So we are closing out here on our last 30 seconds. So any last thoughts, my friends?
Never stop praying.
Excellent.
This is in God's hands. So we have to remember that. Never give up.
That's right.
Well, it's an exciting time for the church.
It is. So we invite all of you to go out and spread the good news.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media. I send you out on a mission of love. I send you out.